There are other leaders who struggle with confidence in making decisions, right? So, okay, what is it that's keeping you from taking that risk? Or, okay, what are your big goals, right? Two or three things that you want to accomplish. It's on your list every year and you never get to it. Well, why not? So we can get to the bottom of why are we procrastinating on that? Or is it time management or energy management or something like that? And so one side of the coin is performance, truly just performance. And the other side of the coin is well-being.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley with my husband, Chris Conley, who serves as a trustee for the Lead Like Jesus organization. And we have back in the studio with us today, Bob Willemsen, who is here for part two.
Bob is a great friend, a great leader, has been a part of the High Point team and has launched out from the High Point team and has really built an amazing coaching business called Potential to Results. So, Bob, we're so glad to have you join us for part two and look forward to hearing about what God is doing in and through you as a business coach, an executive coach, as a leadership coach.
Great. It's good to be back.
As we think about part one, we heard a little bit about your backstory, just what were the things that God began to do, building you into the leader that you are today. And you were the COO at St. Francis Hospital here in Bartlett, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Memphis. And then you became the COO at High Point Church. And then from here, God began to launch a new vision, a new idea in your heart and your mind. Tell us a little bit about that transition.
I think being a chief operating officer, it's several hats there, right? You have to manage relationships and you have to manage processes. And the consistent theme in my life is relationships. And as a COO, as I began to do that and continued to do that, you know, you start to discover and focus what you're most passionate about and what you're the best at. And I just learned through that process that my gifting really is the coaching, it's the leadership development, it's the training, and it's really helping develop those people. So several years ago on my iPhone note, spent some time on a vacation listing the things that I wanted my life to be about. The first one was about my faith and my relationship with God. The second one was my family. And the third one I wrestled with for a while, but it turned out being to help other people reach their potential. And so that's the third one. So I began praying that and looking at that on a daily basis. As I continued to do that, God began to give me vision for an organization that purely does that. That's really our focus, is to go in a targeted way, help people reach their potential professionally, personally, in any way. They need to overcome limitations that are keeping them from being where they could be. We want to help do that.
I affirm that gifting in you. I have seen that time and time again through the life of High Point Church. And even now, High Point is in the process of you coaching some of our staff and things of that nature. And I see that again. Tell us a little bit about the specifics of coaching. What does a coach do? Who needs a coach? Who should hire a coach? What is it that someone's going to get when you come alongside of them in this coaching relationship?
Iron sharpens iron, first of all. So we know that God's plan to grow people is people. I think that's the first thing. What I've also learned is that we can't see the picture if we're in the frame. So I just can't see the picture. If I'm in the picture, the person looking through the camera can. And so the feedback I get from my executive clients in small businesses, medium businesses, a Fortune 100 companies, to have a mirror, to have somebody to come in and see me objectively, who has some leadership bias and some leadership gifting, is very valuable. Because the higher I go, the fewer people I have to talk to.
This is true. Absolutely.
Being able to do that, and then maybe, you know, I don't go into an organization or with a CEO who's leading a company that I've never led before and tell them what to do. I ask the right questions to help them think more fully into their world, to maybe bring out in them what they already know they need to do, or maybe to help them focus or prioritize things, or bring new perspectives that would give them a different approach.
So coaching in many ways is the art of asking the right question. What would you say if you were in a coaching relationship with someone? What are some of those key questions that begins to help people think about leadership from a servant leadership perspective? Because as we're in this Lead Like Jesus podcast, that is the defining difference maker. You know, if you're going to lead in a way that replicates the leadership of Jesus.
Einstein said that experience is the best teacher. My mentor, John Maxwell, changed that a little bit. He said evaluated experience is the best teacher. And so one of the things that I do is ask questions to help people evaluate. And if you think about how much time it takes to think, not a lot of people have that time to think. So that would be the first thing on any topic to say, hey, let's think about this. Let's stop. Let's reflect. There's a sociologist, he said 2% of the population thinks, 3% think they think, and 95% would rather die than think. Because thinking is hard work, and it is, right?
Sure.
And so to have somebody come in and help me do that is very effective, and I can depend on that, and it's helpful. Regarding service, I think the same thing applies. Hey, what do you really want out of this? Hey, 20 years from now, what's your legacy going to be? If that is, I just have to be the executive vice president of a Fortune 50, if that's your goal, you're going to miss that service piece. So we help them figure out what goals will serve them the best to get where they want to go.
Bob, you made reference to the thinking. Okay, these are men and women that you are working with. They think all the time. They're in positions where their intellect and their talents are needed. So they're obviously thinkers, but they're not thinking about the right things. What are the kinds of things that you are able to be that mirror about to them?
We think based off of our programming. And so psychologists say that 75 to 95% of our behavior is driven by what's going on under the surface, by a response, by a subconscious sort of thinking pattern is what they say. So the biggest thing we can do is help identify how people are using old ways of thinking and applying it to new situations. For an example, I have a client who is a female who really kind of had to fight for her own growing up and had to really prove herself as part of being good enough. And that doesn't work once you have the position. If you're always trying to prove to your team how smart you are and how good you are. Mm-hmm. So to help her understand that actually they need you to need them, what they don't need is your expertise and for you to show them how great you are all the time.
It is amazing, Bob, just knowing some of the work that you do and how much our past, the things that have just become ruts in us, carry us into our career and into our families and into our relationships, good or bad. And so what I'm hearing you say is one of the ways you can hold up a mirror is to help people see what is unhealthy, maybe, that they have carried into their professional life and also in their family life.
Absolutely. And see the impact that that makes on the people around them. A lot of our listeners have heard of emotional intelligence, right? It's 25 to 45% of a predictor in job performance. And so that's my ability to lead myself and sort of manage the shadow that I cast on the people around me. So helping them see that, how it impacts themselves and their decision making and what it feels like, most importantly, to be around that person.
Bob, I know that a key component to leadership is the ability to lead yourself. In coaching, someone's got to give you permission to go beyond just their professional life and to be a little bit more holistic and to understand the relationship that exists between one's personal life and one's professional life. What are some of the appropriate ways that, you know, when people give you that permission and they let you see both sides of their life, that you can see that there is this relationship between, you know, the healthiness of their personal life and the way that that should influence the healthiness of their professional life, but also the opposite is also true. If their personal life is unhealthy, then that professional life can experience that unhealthiness as well.
Yeah, and Chris, I've seen a direct ROI, right? We're talking bottom line numbers and profitability. If you have an employee in your workplace, a leader in the workplace who's consumed by the conversation they had at home last night, you know, when things aren't right at home, things aren't right. And so I think there's incredible value in going there and in identifying those patterns that cause people in both places to be limited because it helps in both places, right? So typically, if you ask the right questions again, a good question would be like, in that last board meeting, how did this show up? Or, well, are there any other places in your life that you've seen this? And people will go down that road. And when people can start making the connection that they're the common denominator, right? Oh, wait, my kid does respond to me to the same way that the junior vice president does. Now I start to really change and make growth.
And those are those aha moments,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's where they may not have entered into a coaching relationship to receive that benefit, but they'll be more grateful for that benefit than perhaps anything that you could have ever done professionally. And so that's that unique quality that you have, you know, being a person of faith, having a little bit of a ministry background, but also having all of your executive knowledge and leadership background that you can help people holistically. You know, when you look at leaders, there have to be some common weaknesses. And sometimes a weakness is a strength that is over-applied, right? What would you say are some of the most common areas that leaders need coaching in?
Well, often driven people need coaching in empathy skills, in understanding that if you focus only on results, you may not get results. But if you focus on people and their needs, you'll get people and results. So sometimes that's the issue. There are other leaders who struggle with confidence in making decisions, right? So, okay, what is it that's keeping you from taking that risk? Or, okay, what are your big goals, right? Two or three things that you want to accomplish. It's on your list every year and you never get to it. Well, why not? So we can get to the bottom of why are we procrastinating on that? Or is it time management or energy management or something like that? And so one side of the coin is performance, truly just performance. And the other side of the coin is well-being. Because at the same time, there are leaders who are incredibly successful and incredibly productive, but they're struggling with anxiety, they're exhausted, and they don't know if they can continue this pace. So at that point, we start doing a good cost-value analysis of what are you depending on to get these results? Is it worth it? Is there another way that can be a little less taxing on you? So both performance and well-being is a focus.
Bob, as you're saying that about someone's well-being, it makes me think that sometimes, you know, we have to get cornered, you know, back up against the wall, and things are so bad that we finally will reach out and say, we need help. We don't have our act together. In the context of ministry, in the context of coaching, when we think about marriages, we always, you know, ask for help at the beginning. When you just think it might be a little bit off, not when it's so far foregone that, you know, there's so much water in the boat that you've got lots of work to do. So for that person that's out here right now and that's listening to this, that might think, you know, I don't have the time and I'm busy. Sure, that's a great idea. Why would you tell them it's worth the time to do it? And it's worth maybe even
the investment,
yeah. And even the risk of vulnerability of letting somebody in.
Two responses. The first one is the reminder that if we truly are upholding biblical values and believing God's truth about us, that it's not broken to admit that we need help. It's broken to be too prideful to admit that we need help. So that's the first thing. So that vulnerability and that freedom is the beginning of healing and performance. The other thing I would say is often it's fine tuning. The pain's not so great. It's fine tuning, but water at 211 degrees is hot water, but at 212, it boils. So there are a lot of people out there running really close to their potential, but there are some things that they need that catalyst to get over the edge, and fine tuning a few things is what separates the top leaders from the good leaders.
In that fine tuning, you've got leaders at different levels in their career, different phases in their career where they're climbing that ladder, they're progressing. Okay, what does this coaching process look like? If you're going to coach me, how long is it typically? What can I expect from that coaching process? You know, how does this help me make that next step to fulfill my potential?
Yeah, so practically, the majority of our coaching engagements are 6 months to a year minimum, because it is a marathon, right? And you don't start to move an aircraft carrier being 20, 30, 40, 60 years of experience overnight. So it can take time. And so that relationship really looks like really defining your goals, your values, your core values, your goals, the things that you believe about yourself, and then taking a good look at your life and your leadership and making sure that those things line up, because often they don't. Often there's a degree or two off, and I'm spending a lot of energy doing this thing, but it's not even really what I think is the most important. Okay, why are you doing that? So we take a time to look at that priority and focus and even pruning conversation. And then I help a client think more fully into what they want to do. We'll identify multiple options of what they can start to do, and then all of the barriers that get in the way. And then I'll just serve as accountability and encouragement along the way. And typically we meet every other week, twice a month, so maybe 24 times a year, and we run for a year, and we go from there.
Fantastic. We've learned a little bit about your education background, your professional career. You also mentioned that, you know, John Maxwell has been a mentor and that you've gone through some training and certification there. Talk to us a little bit about some of those best practices that someone can expect when they're coached by you. What are some of those best practices, leadership principles that you bring to the table in that area?
There's multiple reasons why people follow us. Why do people follow you? Do they follow you because they have to? Do they follow you because they like you? Do they follow you because they want to be a part of your success? Or do they follow you because you're helping reach inside of them and show them the person that they want to be and you're helping them get there? I have had a client that has been in business for 30 years. She runs her own company. And she said, thank you. You have helped me understand dimensions of leadership that I didn't know exist. And so I think that really taps into it, that reproduction place of the leaders and the people around us. The other thing is all of the content I'm licensed to use. And then just the ongoing training and mentoring, how to help people think more effectively and help them take it from 211 degrees to 212 and get the water boiling and actually reach their potential in that regard.
Bob, one of the other avenues that you've been effective is helping that emerging leader, maybe that person that hasn't made it all the way up the career chain. As we talk to a generation of millennials, what types of things would you be able to bring to them to help them when they're really establishing themselves on that front end? You're not having to necessarily undo some patterns, but help them to start and put the best foot forward.
Yeah. I think it starts with identity, who you are and whose you are. It's back to the basics. And to really take the time with the young person to figure out which wall their ladder is propped against. I think that's where it starts. And then give them the tools to climb the ladder.
With that identity, really, you've got to, for most people, I believe, help them redefine success. Because most of us, when we have a definition of success that's really built around us, that distorts our identity. And I think most people in the world of leadership, they think about leadership, they want to be a leader for the rewards, not the responsibility. But really, leadership is more about the responsibility than the rewards. And that's where we are the servant leader. So talk to us a little bit about what that typically looks like of as you get in there and you discover what's driving someone. You know, what is that driving force in their life? And how do you navigate them in such a way that maybe they don't even know it initially, but you're helping them redefine their definition of success?
Yeah, good question. I think it comes down to goals. And I think a lot of us have read Neil Anderson's book, Victory Over Darkness. He says that a blocked goal creates anger, an unclear goal creates anxiety, and an undoable goal creates depression. So if there's an anxious leader, I'm going to try to figure out what their goal is and figure out if the goal is serving them well, or if they need to replace it with a different goal. Typically, my two goals in life, the thing that's been on the top of my iPhone list for several years now, is I need to grow, become more like Christ in this context, and add value to other people. We literally ask them, how are you measuring success at the end of the day? If measuring success was looking smart, or if measuring success was positioning myself for the next position, then I'm going to be anxious. I'm not going to be okay. But if my measure of success is, did I grow? I didn't get that business deal, but did I use it as an opportunity to grow? Therefore, I'm winning and I'm excited. And did I add value to other people? Am I winning and am I excited? And if your two goals are personal growth and adding value to other people, you're going to be excited by the end of the day.
The last thing that pops into my mind about leadership that we have enough time maybe to discuss today, every leader, inevitably, if you're going to lead, you're going to run into conflict. In order to be a quality leader, you've got to learn how to manage conflict in a healthy way. What are some of those ways that you coach leaders in the way that they address, you know, or they maybe raise and resolve issues in the world of conflict?
Well, that's funny because I totally left that out. And that's a huge part of what I do with organizational teams. So really helping people listen to the other party long enough to where they understand where they're coming from. And maybe it's back to the empathy skill. And then again, understanding their own patterns of what's motivating them, right? So if I'm driven by significance, or I'm driven by love and connection, or I'm driven by certainty and predictability, or I'm driven by variety and not being tied down, which is some common value drivers, some motivators that we help those teams identify, then we understand that when that person's not getting that need met, they're going to act silly. And so we'll literally help people understand what's driving them under the surface, and help the other people understand that that's the case.
That was a really kind way to say that.
They're
acting
like silly. Because I like to say that the madder you get, the dumber you get, right?
That's right. Both are true.
When we think about that conflict, to kind of wrap that up for just a moment, it's a good reminder for all of us that when we do manage conflict well, we win and we gain loyalty from people, and that our relationships actually become closer once we've been able to respectfully, in an honorable way, navigate our way through a tension-filled moment, that we can actually come out on the other side with a better, stronger relationship.
Bob, it is fantastic on a personal level to see what a difference you are making in people's lives and how you have been able to narrow to what your highest and best use is, and that's helping other people. But also, I hope this conversation, as people have listened to our time together, that it has motivated them to say, what could my life look like if I was at my best? If I didn't just, you know, exist and go through the motions each day, but I was really intentional. I brought someone into my world. I let them in, and I had that mirror. All of us would be better. So if people are interested in learning more about your particular business, tell us one more time where they should go to reach out to you.
It's at potential2results.com. So it's potential and then the number 2results.com.
And Bob, I know we're located in Memphis, but coaching doesn't have to be limited to a physical location anymore. If someone was interested in having you coach them, whether they live in Memphis or elsewhere, talk about the process that they would go through in order to you kind of interview you and learn more about hiring you to be a coach.
Absolutely. So a lot of my coaching happens over a webcast or on the phone. I have clients that are out of town, and they would go to that same website, potential2results.com, and give me their contact info at the bottom of that website, and I'll get that, and I'll call them, and we'll set up a complimentary practice intake session, and we'll spend an hour talking and see if it's a fit.
Great.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for this podcast. Bob, thank you for being with us. Check out potential2results.com. And for more information on leadership development, go to leadlikejesus.com.